If when you know your life is the Lord's, your resources are the Lord's, your time is the Lord's, you don't have to get frustrated with it, right? That helps.
And I'll go back and buy something else some other time. But yeah. I'm not going to get no dryer there, though.
Yeah. Lord willing. Amen.
Yeah, Lord willing.
Yeah. Yeah. Lord willing. Well, praise the Lord. It's always a joy when He works it out that way. Yeah. Well, as Proverbs 3 teaches us, when we have bad news, sudden terror. I thought about that this morning when that text came across with Miss Tricia potentially having a stroke. That's the first thing that came to my mind. Don't be afraid of sudden bad news or terror. How the enemy will want to grip your feet and trap you in that. One, you don't know the extent of a thing. God does. Yeah. You don't know why it's happening the way it's happening. A lot of times it's not near as bad as we heard it was, and sometimes it could be worse. We just don't know. We're limited on what we know, but Proverbs 3 always is a great reminder for those things. Just like your car not working, you just rest in, okay, there's a reason for that. The phone's not working yesterday. I was messing up around here yesterday, and my phone, remember when we was trying to get Lauren and it wouldn't work? The Lord works those things out, right? Sometimes you just got to have a reset. All right, well, let's jump in. We're up, of course, to chapter number three, but, oh, we can be anywhere. I mean, anywhere you've been gleaning something, we can go after it. We might not be able to solve it or get the solution for it, or we can rejoice over it, but we'll jump in it. Y'all know we are not intimidated to go wherever the Lord leads in this old precious Bible of ours. We'll find a way. I got a lot of tools that we can look up stuff if we need to. 2:12. I love chapter number 2. You've heard me say before, I think it's the key to understanding all these great truths. But 2:12. What you see in there, Brother Shannon?
Well, it's to be delivered from the way of the evil man. For the man that speaketh forward things.
Twisted and perverse things.
And God's the only thing that can deliver you.
Got a process that we see here when it comes to being delivered from people who speak falsehood and lies. You've heard me say this before, but remember, God delivers us from a thing
to a thing.
Yeah. Proverbs 2 is one of these principal truths that tell us that. Notice what he says, verse 12, to deliver you from. Look in verse number 16, to deliver you from. But what does he deliver you from? Verse 20 says, so that you may what?
Walk
in the way of God, goodness there. So what does he do? He takes you from, delivers you from, but he delivers you to.
Yeah.
We see this. Now, look back, if you would. You got to start in verse 1 of chapter 2 to get the whole picture. And I'll read it. And as I read it, which we've done this before, I know we have, you circle, or you in your mind make a mental note of the small words in here. Yeah. Don't overlook them. Right, Greg? The words if, the words then, the words when, the words to, and the words that, and the words so. Don't miss them, because they explain how this comes together. So he says, my son, first off, you got to think about the relational value in this.
Yeah.
Because he's going to tell us in chapter 3 the same thing. Listen to the law of your father. It's a relational thing. The way the father goes, often the son goes. The way the mama goes, often the family goes. It's the same principle. It's a relational thing. So if you receive my words and treasure my commands within you, so that to the point you incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding, yes, if you cry out for discernment, and lift up your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver and search for her as hidden treasures, then and only then is the idea. You will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For here's some insight to tell you how this works. God gives this. This is that deliverance, Brother Shannon, that God's got to give. For the Lord gives wisdom. From His mouth comes knowledge and understanding. He, God, stores up sound wisdom for the upright. That'd be somebody that's trusting Him. He is a shield to those who walk uprightly, those that walk with Him. He guards the paths of justice and preserves the way of His saints. Verse 9, then and only then you will understand righteousness, you will understand justice, and you will understand equity in every good path. There ain't no understanding it without the first part. If you do this, if you cry out, if you seek Him, then you will know the fear of the Lord, then you will know what understanding and righteousness and justice and equity is. And when this happens, verse number 10, wisdom enters your heart and knowledge is pleasant to your soul. Discretion will preserve you and understanding will keep you. For what? To deliver you.
Amen.
To deliver you from the way of evil, from the man who speaks perverse things, from those who leave the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness, who rejoice in doing evil and delight in the perversity of the wicked. That sounds like a society that we live in, right? These things are always happening. They happened then, they're going to happen now. We just see it progressively getting worse, but it's always been around.
Oh, yeah.
And God's solutions, His answers, His wisdom is His means to deliver us from it. So we live in a society, though, as a whole, when you consider it, they don't want to call anything perverse.
No.
They want to call anything twisted.
No.
They don't want to say that a person's left the path of righteousness to go after things. But look, from the verse 13, from those who leave the path of rightness to walk in the ways of what?
Darkness.
Yeah. So there is a way of darkness. There's a way of perversity. And God's ways are to deliver us from that.
Yes.
So verse 14, who rejoice in the doing evil and delight in the perversity of the wicked. There are wicked people, right?
Yeah.
And we know what wicked means. What does it mean?
Wrong.
It's wrong. Why is it wrong? Because it ain't right. And why is it not right? It's not right with God. That's what makes it wicked. No matter how good it is, it can be wicked.
Yeah.
Even the good can be wicked or is wicked. For an example, we don't know how many trees was in the garden, but there were two specific trees that God talked about in the garden, right? Tree of life and?
Tree of knowledge of good and evil.
Okay, what kind of, it's a tree of knowledge. And on that tree had fruit of the knowledge of what?
Good and evil.
Good and evil. God forbid them from the tree of knowledge.
Yes.
Why? Because even knowledge that's good knowledge that is without God is bad.
Yeah.
Are you with me? What was God teaching them? To trust Him. You don't need knowledge of good and evil. You trust, follow me, heed me, honor me. That's all you need. You don't need that. But that same principle applies for you and me today. Jesus said, man's not to live on bread alone, but what?
Every
word that proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord. God told Adam, what I say about a thing is more important than the thing.
Yeah.
So the tree of knowledge is unneedful, even good knowledge, when you're following me.
Yeah.
When you're following me. So here we have it here. When he says, verse 15, whose ways are crooked and who are devious in their paths, and to deliver you from the immoral woman, from the seductress who flatters with her words. She's going to be called a stranger later on in the book. She's a stranger, and she needs to stay strange to you. Are you with me?
Amen.
That's the idea. From the seductress who flatters with her lips, who forsakes the companion of her youth and forgets the covenant of her God. For her house leads down to death and her pass to the dead. None who go to her return, nor do they regain to the pass of life. Now here's the deliver you to. So you may walk in the ways of goodness and keep to the paths of righteousness. For the upright will dwell in the land and the blameless will remain in it, but the wicked will be cut off from the earth and the unfaithful will be uprooted from it. This is just another translation or an expanded version of Psalm 1. What Psalm 1 say? Blessed is the man that walks not in the advisement or the counsel of the ungodly. What does he say here? It's to deliver you from the way of evil and the man who speaks what? Perverse things in verse 12. From those who leave the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness. You don't want to walk in that counsel.
Right?
Right?
Yeah.
You don't want to what? Stand in the paths of sinners, and you don't want to sit in the seat of the scornful. But what is to be our delight? The principal way of God, the law of the Lord.
Amen.
And in His law we want to meditate what?
Day and night.
Day and night, and we shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Our leaves shall not wither, because we well watered, and whatever we do, what? Shall prosper.
Yeah.
Then it says, but the wicked are not so. The wicked are not. They like the chaff blown away with the wind. They're going to perish. And this is what this was saying. When he says, so that you may walk in the ways of goodness, verse 20, and keep to the paths of righteousness, for the upright will dwell in the land, and the blameless will remain in it, but the wicked will be cut off from the earth, and the unfaithful will be uprooted from it. So both Proverbs 1 and Proverbs 2 have already been expanded teachings on Psalm 1. And who wrote Psalm 1? Solomon's daddy, who was inspired by the Lord, who taught his son, who's now walking in the wisdom of God, now teaching the wisdom that God has given him, and they are in perfect harmony with one another.
Yes.
They're saying the same exact thing. Psalm 1's just a brief version, where Proverbs 1 and 2 have said a lot more about it, of how we operate in the fear of the Lord, and how you're going to get the fear of the Lord, and what's the fear of the Lord going to deliver you from? And when it comes, it's going to give you understanding and discretion and all these things. So it's just a neat, neat revelation for us when we really get a good picture of it. But I love Proverbs 2 in the fact that it tells us just a stepping process of if, then, and when this happens. It's to deliver you, so that you can stay to the course that God's given you. And the righteous are going to be different than the unrighteous. And one's going to thrive and one's going to perish.
Amen.
That's just the message of it. Really, just look at it and say, well, this tells us a lot to why we can walk in the ways of God or why we're not walking in the ways of God.
Amen.
I'm either seeking it and crying out for it and wanting it more than anything, or I'm not, and therefore I've done got caught up in the ways of the perverse falsehoods and lies, and I'm going down the wrong path with the wrong people, and we don't want to be in that position. Amen. Good stuff. He always delivers us from something to deliver us to something. So when we're talking with people and they give us their testimony of what they're not doing, you always want to ask, well, what kind of impact are you having on the kingdom right now? Because if he took you from it, he's going to put you in something else.
Amen.
He ain't never just going to take you and let you stay in limbo doing nothing. Ain't no better than what you used to be doing.
Right.
He's going to put you to work for him.
Come on.
When you follow him. Amen.
Amen.
He's going to put you to work for him. And I want to tell you, the righteous are as bold as a lion, the scripture says. They ain't ashamed. They are not ashamed to stand up for Jesus. They're not ashamed to say, hey, that's darkness. Hey, that's perversity. Hey, that's the wrong way. Man, God come to deliver us out of that. Amen?
Amen.
They're just not ashamed to do that. They're not a coward when it comes to those things. Matter of fact, in the book of Revelation, let's look at this for a moment. Go to Revelation 21. Close of the book. Close of the word. Revelation 21.
Seems like we've been close there early.
Man, we have been. We was in 22 recently. And we may remember that in a moment. But I want you to see this. This is one of these I believe we need to remember. And we need to help people remember. This is a mouthful. A heartful. I'll just start in verse 5. Let's do that just for time's sake. Revelation 21:5. Then he who sat on the throne said, "Behold." Now, what's behold? That's a faith word, right?
Amen.
We got to see this by faith of what's coming. "Behold, I make all things new." And he said to me, "Write, for these words are true and what?
Faithful."
True and faithful. You can rest your life upon them.
Amen.
Verse 6, and he said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give of the fountain of the water of life freely to him who thirsts for it." Praise God. Amen. How many of y'all like that fountain?
Amen.
Got a drink from it. Verse 7. And these go back to Revelation 1, 2, and 3 about this Alpha and the Omega, this first and the last, the beginning and the end. And all these promises that he makes to his people. And he says in verse 7, "He who overcomes shall inherit all things."
Amen.
"And I will be his God, and he shall be my son." Now watch what verse 8 says.
But
on the other hand, there's a whole nother class of people out there. The fearful.
Yeah.
And the word there, fearful, is only used a few times. It's the idea of the cowardly. The cowardly. The cowardly. Notice that description, the cowardly. The first description of those who are not part of the overcomers. The cowardly. Then he uses the phrase of the unbelieving. Because cowardness and unbelieving go hand in hand in the sense that it's only those who operate in faith are those that overcome. And when you operate in faith, you're persuaded. You're not an unbeliever. You're the believer. So the believers are not the cowards or the fearful. He says, but the cowardly, the unbelieving, the abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, the sorcerers, the idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in what?
The lake
which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. The cowardly. Those who didn't have enough in them, characteristically as a way of life, to live and love and stand for Jesus. To be a witness, a voice, a messenger. Those who didn't have it within them to see the treasure and the value of Jesus and his message, that they gave their life to it, to be those missionaries. I'm telling you, if they're not disciple-making witnesses, they're cowards and they don't belong to Jesus.
Amen.
I mean, he said this is faithful and true. You got to take what he said. This is Jesus telling us here that if there is not enough in them to stand up and proclaim that good news of Jesus, because when a man gives their life to Jesus, a woman, boy, or girl, even Mark 8 tells us that you give your life to him and his message, to the gospel. And you become a living witness, a living missionary that, yeah, will you have to face obstacles? Yes, will you have to face challenges? Yes, will you have to face fears? Ain't no doubt about it. But the one thing that will always characterize the believer, he's an overcomer. He overcomes his fears. He overcomes his doubts. He overcomes his ways. Why? because who's living in him? You got a lion living in you. Amen.
Amen.
You got the lion of the tribe of Judah. You got a champion living in you. You got the Holy Spirit living in you, and you can't live this life and never be a disciple maker and expect you're going to live with Jesus forever. It ain't going to happen. It just ain't going to happen. You have to know that there is nothing going to get in my way of clinging to Jesus with all that I got and sharing his message as a way of life. Anything short of that is believing what America's preached, but not the gospel.
Amen.
If the gospel don't make you a gospel maker, a gospel preacher, teacher, a disciple maker, you believe the wrong gospel. Just telling you. And man, this is important right here. But the cowardly, the fearful, unbelieving, abominable, murderer, sexually immoral. And the only difference between verse 8 and verse 7 is Jesus. He's the one who's overcome in them. Amen.
Amen.
They've been conquered by him. That's the thing. Isn't that what Jesus says? We are more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. And a conqueror keeps conquering. He's not going to be conquered but by one, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. So when you take that, and then you take this verse, verse 15 of chapter 22, we'll see how this plays out. The first description here in 15, the difference between those in 14 and those in 15 is Jesus. The difference between us and everybody in the world is Jesus. It ain't us, amen.
Amen.
We would all be cowards too if it wasn't for Jesus.
Come on.
But verse 15 of 22 said, those on the outside, notice the first description. What does he call them?
Dogs.
Why does he call them a dog? Because he's already taught us when Jesus was walking this earth, he says, be cautious of putting the precious things and the holy things before the dogs and the hogs. Why do you not put holy things out before the hogs and the dogs? Because a dog or a hog cannot value that which is precious, that which is costly. You put pearls in front of a hog, what is that hog going to do? Going to walk all over.
Yeah.
You put rubies and diamonds in front of a dog, what is a dog going to do? They're going to play with them and walk all over them. They don't have it within them to understand the value of what's before them. And that's why the first description of those who are on the outside is a dog, because they can't estimate the value of Jesus.
Amen.
They have no idea the true value of who he is and what he is. And therefore, as a result, in everyday life, when it comes to standing up for Christ and what he's accomplished and done,
live
as cowards, because they don't really see. They really don't see that Jesus is everything. Because when he's everything, you live with a message that he's everything. And you won't be a coward as a way of life. That's the idea. Characteristically, the believer is the overcomer. And as the overcomer, they thirst. And they thirst for the water of life. And they follow their shepherd. And as they follow their shepherd, the shepherd's in them. And the shepherd in them is zealous in them. You know that passage we read out of Isaiah 9 that says that his name shall be called Wonderful, and Counselor, and Mighty God, and Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace, and the government, the reign, the rule shall be placed upon his shoulders, and of the increase of his government there shall be no end. He shall establish it, and he shall order it. And it says these words, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. That means that for it to be performed, that is, the zealousness, the passion of the Lord Jesus is in his people, in his church, and as a result, he is not a coward, never was a coward, never will be a coward, but he's overcome the world. and in him we overcome the world as well. Our faith, which he is our faith, overcomes. And as a result, we what? We get to live out a message that can rescue a world perishing in their sins, who can't estimate the value of Jesus because they're no different between a hog and a dog. They just can't see it. But the believers see that he's everything. Amen? Amen. That's why the Bible says the believer endures to the end. He endures to the end, meaning that when things get hot and heavy with persecution, when the Antichrist eventually comes on the scenes and kills believers massively as a whole, the believers won't bow to him. Why? Because they got a king. And their king is a champion, and he's an overcomer, and they are not cowards. They stand up for the Lord Jesus Christ in the face of adversity, and they proclaim to a world dying in their darkness, in their deception, in their delusion, that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and there's no other way to come unto him. And you see, that's what wisdom, the fear of the Lord, will do in a man. Amen. God puts his fear in us, amen? And you give priority and you prize him. Well, outside of that, Carolyn, we can't estimate that. We can't estimate it. That's why it's referred to as a dog. And praise God, he turns us from dogs to sheep, amen? To changes our nature so that we will follow after him. But that's the difference between what you see in Proverbs 2, of this earnestness, as he said in 21, he said, look, he who thirsts has access and inherits all things and has access to the fountain of life. And when you thirst and hunger for righteousness, we have the promise we'll be filled. Amen? Amen. We'll be filled. And not to say that there won't be times where there will be fears. There's not to say that there's not times you will be potentially hesitant, but you see, that's what courage and bravery does. It overcomes the fears and the challenges that come against it. There's something within us that wells up. As we've been talking about how he came to divide in Matthew 10, he says, look, don't prepare yourself to say a certain thing when they put you on trial. Matter of fact, you're going to be put on trial as a witness or a testimony to me, and I'll give you, my Father will give you, the Holy Spirit will give you the words to say when you need them. Why? Because Jesus knows what he does inside of his people. And what he does is that he gives them the strength to stand up in the face of adversity. And you cannot and will not ever be able to classify a believer as a coward. It can't happen.
Amen.
Because of who saved them. Amen.
Come on.
And who lives in them and who shepherded in their lives. Now there are many people who claim to be believers that are cowards, but you'll never find a true disciple that's a coward. Can't happen.
Amen.
Because no coward as a way of life will be in glory with us when that day comes. Amen.
Amen.
So, all these great things, this is what Proverbs is helping us with. We need his wisdom. His wisdom is what gives us insight on these things.
Amen.
And remember, God says that, hey, he wants us to depend on him and live on every word that he says, as Jesus teaches us and what he told Adam in the garden, that look, you have access to the tree of life, but that tree of knowledge over there, even the good not led by God, is deadly. Even the good not led by God is deadly. And there's a lot of people out there who are led and doing good things, but it's not led by God, and they'll perish in it.
Amen.
That's why we want to what? Be used to interrupt their lives and turn them to look unto him. As the scripture, what does Proverbs say? Even the plowing of the wicked is sin.
Amen.
Why? Plowing is a good thing. Is a needful thing. But you see, it's plowing and sowing and working without him in your life, and that's a bad thing. So even a good thing can be a deadly thing if God's not in it, Amen. If grace is not in it. And there's a lot of people we know who are doing good things, but God's not in it. And that's where we want to help them. Amen? Amen? That's where we want to help them. Look unto Him. Do we need Him? Do we need His strength?
Yes.
Do we need His help? Yes, yes, yes. So when you're dealing with the dogs out there, you got to remember the dog can't see what you see. They can't value what you value. But that's okay, right? We're not going to be offended by that, huh?
Amen.
We're going to lay our lives down for the cause of Jesus. Why? Because Jesus laid His life down for them.
Amen.
And we want to help them. Amen?
Amen.
We want to help them. Well, to Him be the praise. Father, we thank You tonight. Help us. Help us help others. We live, as Proverbs 2 tells us, there's a way that is dark and deceptive, and those that leave those paths, and many have walked into them just because we're not hearing from You. And Lord, we want to hear from You. We want to be strong and courageous and faithful, as You tell Your people again and again and again, that we don't have to fear nor be downcast in our spirit nor be discouraged, but that You have commanded us and You promised You are with us even to the end of the age. So help us go. Help us go in every dynamic of our life and admit that we don't have the strength within us and we couldn't do it right and wouldn't do it right if it wasn't for You. So we're going to praise You for it and thank You in this place tonight and ask You to help us win people to Your amazing grace. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Love y'all.
See you.
Lord willing, that is the plan, Carolyn. I'm already excited about it.